Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and Mishnah Yomi continues for Erev Shabbos Ki Tisa in Chapter 3 of Nedarim, Mishnah 11. Yesterday, our sages brought up the topic of regular Jews, Yisrael, versus the Kuthians, the Samaritans. Now, today we're going to get into some really critical issues of Jewish identity. So, Konam, making a vow, a ban, She'eni Nehene Levnei Noach, I will have no benefit from the Bnei Noach, the sons of Noah, who famously had an ark and three sons. So biologically, genetically, every human being is a descendant of Noach, a Ben Noach, technically. Mutter b'Yisrael, so he could still do business with Jews, va'aser b'umot olam, but not with other nations, because colloquially, how the term is used, Ben Noach, refers to people who are not Jewish. Now, what if he says, She'eni nehene, that I will not have any enjoyment, I won't do any business, lezera Abraham, to the seed, the descendants of Abraham, of Abraham. Usur bi Yisrael, so that includes the Jewish people, mutzer b'umat olam, but not other nations, they're not in the vow. Now, this might be surprising, because Abraham had a Yishmael also, the entire Arab people is descended from Yishmael. And then he had a Yitzhak who also had an Esav. And Esav was the progenitor of many nations, even the Romans. But when we say Zera Avraham, the real descendants, the not just genetic but spiritual heirs of Avraham Avinu, is only the Jewish people. And the Bartnera adds a reason here. There's actually also a Pasuk. It's not only colloquial regular usage, but in Scripture it says, Ki v'Yitzhak yekari lecha Zera. Because this is Hashem talking to Abraham, because in Yitzhak, from Yitzhak, will be called your Zera, your descendants. Be Yitzhak, it's part of Yitzhak's children, below Kol Yitzhak, but not all of his children. So only Yaakov, only Jacob, the father of the Shvatim, the father of the 12 tribes, is the link from Abraham to Yitzhak to Yaakov to us. Now the Mishnah goes on, what if he says, She'eni nehene l'Yisrael, I'm not going to have any financial benefit from Jews. So if he's trying to do business with a Jewish person, lokeach biyoter, he would have to pay a little bit more money, umocher bepachot, and when he's selling merchandise, he'd have to sell it for a little less than the normal value. So that way he's not getting any benefit on these transactions. She Yisrael nehenin li, he's taking a vow that the Jewish people won't have benefit from him. That's sort of the opposite case. So lokeach befachot, he would have to buy at reduced price, umocher biyoter, and then sell it for a higher price, im shomin lo, if other Jewish people would actually listen to him to do that disadvantageous transaction, to lose money on the deal. That's not really a normal Jewish thing to do. Now what if he says, she'eni nehene lehen, behen li, I will have no benefit from them, and them to me, Yehoni Lenochrim. So he has to do business, he has to buy and sell and trade with non-Jewish people only. Now what if he says, Konam, I'm taking a ban, a vow, She'eni Nehane Le'Areilim. I will have no benefit from the Areilim. Now literally this means uncircumcised. Mutar Ba'arle Yisrael. He can still do business with those Jews who happen to be not circumcised. Now the Gemara gets into, it was possible for this to be required if his brothers had passed away, had, God forbid, died after the bris milah from hemophilia or a clotting disorder or something of this nature, then we would tell the third brother not to get the bris milah because of the danger. So you could have Jews who are actually required not to get a bris milah because of a medical condition, but he could still do business with them even though he banned Areilim. V'aser b'mulei akum, and he can't do business with non-Jews, even if they happen to get a bris milah. In a similar case, konam, a vow, she'eni nehne lemulim, I'll have no benefit from the mulim. Now that means the circumcised. Usur be'arle Yisrael, he can't do business with those uncircumcised Jews. A Jew is included in mulim, in those who have a bris, even if literally his body does not have a bris, but he's part of the Jewish people where pretty much all of them do. Mutter b'mulei akum, but he can do business with those non-Jews who happen to have a bris. Mishnah explains, she'eina orla kruya, ela l'shem akum. When we say the word orla, it refers to non-Jews, not a Jew who happens to have an orla, happens to still have a foreskin. Shneamar, and as this is said in the Pasuk, so it's not just colloquial normal usage, it's also a verse. Ki kol agoyim areilim, the kol beit Yisrael arlei lev. Now this is in the Navi Yirmiyahu, and he is chastising the Jewish nation, urging them to do tshuva, to repent. He says the other nations, they have a foreskin, and you Jewish people, it's like you have a foreskin on your heart. But we see here the non-Jews are called Arelim in the Pasuk. But Omer, it also says, V'haya ha-plishti ha-arel hazeh, referring to this Philistine who is uncircumcised, referring to Goliath, Goliath. But Omer, and there's also another verse, Pen Tismachna benot plishtim, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Pen ta'aloizna benot ha'arelim, lest they party and celebrate the daughters of Arelim. So the daughters of the plishtim were called Arelim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah adds to this conversation, but since we got onto the topic, he says, Me'usa orla. It's repulsive. It's yucky. The orla, the word orla, it's insulting. Shenit ganu v'harishayim, because the rishayim are insulted by calling them Arelim. Shenamar ki kol agoyim Arelim. These wicked peoples oppressing the Jews are called Arelim. Now, since we got on the topic of a bris mila, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, gedola mila shenichritu aleya shlosh esrei britot. Rabbi Yishmael says this is a wonderful, great mitzvah. There are 13 covenants, not just one, 13 established on the basis of the bris mila. The Bartnora points out the word bris, brit, is there 13 times in the instructions that Hashem gave Avraham Avinu to perform the first bris mila. Rabbi Yosi omer gedola mila shedoche et shabbat ha-chamora. Mila overrides Shabbat. If a child is born on one Shabbat, the bris is on the next Shabbat. So even though the cutting overrides Shabbos, as we explained in Masechet Shabbat, we're learning the Mishnah Shabbat, Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, he adds, Gedola Mila shelo nitla lo lemoshe tzodik alea melo shah. Mila is so important that Moshe, the tzodik, he was not let off the hook from doing Mila even 1 minute, referring to when they were traveling down to Egypt to rescue the entire Jewish people. He was on a mission from God, and he had to do a bris mila. So they stopped at the inn, and he delayed, maybe a minute before he did the bris mila, and the angel came down and sent a snake to try to swallow him up until his wife Zipporah actually did the bris right there. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Gedola Mila Shedoche et Negayim, it overrides Tzarat. Negayim is skin afflictions that we'll discuss in great detail later. They could be cut off during a bris mila. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi adds, Gedola Mila Shekolim Mitzvot, also Avraham Avinu, all of the good deeds that Abraham did, lo nikra shalem, he wasn't called shalem, a word of completeness, ad shemal, until he performed the bris on himself. Shemar hitholech lefonai v'yei tamim. Hashem told him, you will walk before me and you will be tamim. Tamim is perfect, is shalem. Davar acher, another phrase about mila, gedola mila, it's so great, shomalehi, if it were not for the bris that the Jewish people perform at the urging of Hashem, lo vara HaKadosh Baruch Hu olamo, Hashem would not have created the world. Shnamar, the verse links them, ko amar Hashem, thus saith Hashem, im lo briti yomam v'layla, if my covenant was not existing day and night, hukot shemayim v'aretz, lo samti, the laws of heaven and earth I would not establish. So the physical laws and existence of nature is linked to the spiritual law that the Jewish people have taken upon themselves as a mitzvah of Hashem. Mazel tov, let's go on to chapter 4. Ein bein amuder hana mechaveiro, lemuder hameno machal. There's no difference between someone who bans hana, which just means benefit, from his fellow, lemuder hameno machal, from one who takes food-related benefits, says, I'm not eating by you, you're not eating by me, eladrisa teregil. The only differences are drisat haregel, that's walking across his yard, kelim she'ein osin behem ochel nefesh, and utensils that we don't make food with. And the Mishnah explains this second category, hamuder machol mechavero, someone bans food, eating, from his friend, lo yashi elenu nafe v'chivra v'chaim v'tanur, he cannot borrow from him, Nafa, a sifter, chivra, a sieve, rechayim, a mill for grinding, a tanur, and an oven. Sometimes their ovens were movable, as we learned in Masechet Shabbat. Aval mashil lo holuk, he could lend him a cloak, a tabat, a ring, a talit, or his talis, nizamim, or earrings, the kol davar she'enusin ba'ochel nefesh. He could lend him anything that we do not use in food preparation. But makom shemaskirin kiyotzi behen, if normally people rent these out, they charge money to borrow the cloak, usher, then he can't borrow it from his friend because he's saving money, which he will then turn around and use for food. Yashar koach, Shabbat shalom.